Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 31, Text 15.
Yan maya yoru guna karma nibandhane smin. Samsari ke pati charam starabi sramena.
Samsari ke pati charam starabi sramena.
Nastashmiti puna ayam pravinita lokam.
Nastashmiti puna ayam pravinita lokam.
Yukya kaya maharanugraham antarena.
Brahmantarena
yan maya yoru guna karma nibandhane smin samsarike paticharam starabhisramena Nastashmiti punayam parvinita lokam.
Nastashmiti punayam parvinita lokam.
Yukya kaya maharanugraham antarena.
Yukya kaya maharanugraham antarena.
Someone else? Word for word. Yat.
Yat.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Mayayap.
Mayayap.
By the Maya.
Uruguna.
Arising from the great modes.
Karma.
Activities.
Nibandhane.
With bonds. Asmin. This. Samsarike.
Of repeated birth and death.
Pati. On the path.
Charan.
Wandering.
Tat
of him.
Abhishamena.
With great pains.
Nasta.
Lost.
Shmiti.
Memory.
Puna.
Again.
Ayam.
The living entity.
Pravinita.
May realize.
Lokam.
His true nature.
Yuktakaya.
By what means?
Mahat
Anugraham.
The mercy of the Lord.
Antarena.
Without.
Translation. The human soul further prays, the living entity is put under the influence of material nature and continues a hard struggle for existence on the path of repeated birth and death. This conditional life is due to his forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, without the Lord's mercy, how can he again engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord? Purport. The Mayavadi philosophers say that simply by cultivation of knowledge, by mental speculation, one can be liberated from the condition of material bondage. But here it is said, one is liberated not by knowledge, but by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The knowledge that a conditioned soul gains by mental speculation, however powerful it may be, is always too imperfect to approach the absolute truth. It is said that without the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot understand him or his actual form, equality and name. Those who are not in devotional service go on speculating for many, many thousands of years, but they are still unable to understand the nature of the absolute truth. One can be liberated in the knowledge of the absolute truth simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's clearly said herein that our memory is lost because we are now covered by his material energy. Arguments may be put forward as to why we have been put under the influence of this material energy by the supreme will of the Lord. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, I am sitting in everyone's heart, and due to me, one is forgetful or one is alive in knowledge. The forgetfulness of the conditioned soul is also due to the direction of the Supreme Lord. A living entity misuses his little independence when he wants to lord it over material nature. This misuse of independence, which is called Maya, is always available. Otherwise, there would be no independence. Independence implies that one can use it properly or improperly. It is not static, it is dynamic. Therefore, misuse of independence is the cause of being influenced by Maya. Maya is so strong that the Lord says that it is very difficult to surmount her influence, but one can do so easily if he surrenders unto me. Mameveye prapadyante. Anyone who surrenders unto him can overcome the influence of the stringent laws of material nature. It is clearly said here that a living entity is put under the influence of Maya by his will, and if anyone wants to get out of this entanglement, this can be made possible simply by his mercy. The activities of the conditioned soul under the influence of material nature are explained here. Every conditioned soul is engaged in different types of work under the influence of material nature. We can see in the material world that the conditioned soul acts so powerfully that he is playing wonderfully in creating the so-called advancements of material civilization for sense gratification, but actually his position is to know that he is an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. When he is actually in perfect knowledge, he knows that the Lord is the supreme worshipable object and the living entity is his eternal servant. Without this knowledge, he engages in material activities. This is called ignorance. Yanmaya yoru gunakama nibandhane smin samsarike pati charam stad abhisramena nasta smiti puna ayam pravinita lokam yukta kaya maharanugraham antarena. The human soul further prays, the living entity is put under the influence of material nature and continues a hard struggle for existence on the path of repeated birth and death. This conditional life is due to his forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, without the Lord's mercy, how can he again engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord? So this is Lord Kapila Dev instructing. Lord Kapila instructs his mother Devahuti, but of course his instructions are for all. And in the previous chapter, there was the description of the activities of the living entity, and especially very sinful activities, and living entity has to get his reactions, and some of those reactions can be very severe, especially if he's very sinful. There's a description of the hellish planets, and then coming back through the different species of life, again he has come back to the human form. So in this chapter, instructions on the movements of the living entities, how the living entity has come back finally again. So we see why it is so important to try to understand our actual position. And Prabhupada was very earnestly trying to spread the message of Krishna consciousness all over the world. The people in general, especially in Kali Yuga, are just lost in their different pursuits and activities, and oblivious, really, in ignorance to the actual position of the goings-on of the living entities entangled in the material world. And so they go about, and we see all over, of course, all over the world, and they're not even thinking. They don't understand. And unfortunately, again, now interestingly, in this verse today, these words are used, samsarike, repeated birth and death, abhisramena, with great pains, nasta smriti, lost memory, and puna, again. That is very interesting. You know, here we go again. More or less. How many times do we have to go through all this? Again and again and again. puna puna again. Now, kamana daiva netrena, in the beginning of the chapter, Lord Kapila explains that living entities are moving actually under the direction of a higher authority, and of course that higher authority is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the memory comes and the memory is taken away. All this is actually under the direction of the Lord. The materialists have their theories and so on and so forth, how everything happens in this universe. But here we get a very authoritative description by Lord Kapila Dev, what's the actual situation. So again, the living entity has come up. Now, how many times we've done this? Who knows? So many lives, practically unlimited times. So these words are used. The great pain, struggle. Here the term, a hard struggle for existence, this term's used. Repeated birth and death. We even as devotees, we read the repeated birth and death. But how much realization do we have of that phrase, repeated birth and death, again, and these words again. Again, puna, great pains, memory is lost. Now, this is a creation of the Supreme Personality of God to enable our misuse of independence. We have our, as Prabhupada puts it here, our little independence as living entities. We have little independence. We don't have total independence. We don't have great independence, powerful independence. We have, although Prabhupada does mention that the living entities and illusion are powerfully acting in so many ways to create civilizations and so on and so forth. Or great cities and so on. nevertheless, it's tiny. We have our powers, but the power of this material world, the power of nature, the power of the modes of nature, especially mentioned here, the modes of nature, sattva-guna, rajaguna, tamaguna, especially in Kali Yuga, mainly rajaguna, tamaguna, pushing on us. This is all arranged by Krishna. We want our independence, a little as it may be, still. And Prabhupada mentions here, actually, it's always there. It's not that it disappears. We become liberated and independence disappears, just like. And Prabhupada does mention, he does refer to the Mayavadi philosophers. The Mayavadi philosophers who, more or less think everything, in liberation, everything is merged. And everything is one, and the independence is lost. But Prabhupada specifically says that the independence is always there. In the liberated stage for the living entity in the spiritual world, we have that independence, and that independence to serve Krishna, or we can at any time, even in the liberated state, at any time, choose to be separate from Krishna. So, of course, there's no separate from Krishna. That is our foolishness, because everything ultimately is Krishna. And so Krishna's intelligence and his expertise in arranging a situation where the living entities can think they're independent from Krishna, be separate from Krishna, but actually they're not. Because this material, the prakriti, the material nature, is coming from Krishna. Krishna is traveling with each and every living entity right next to them in the heart. So at every moment, Krishna is there. How intelligent is that? Create an illusion that a person wants to be away from you, but they can never be away from you, but you're right with them all the time, even their facilities and everything are created by you, but to make it in such a way that they are thinking that they are separate, and they are thinking that they are creating so many things. But Krishna is very expert how to do all this. But it's foolishness on the part of the living entity. And this is why Lord Kapila goes at length to describe the various different types of sufferings. The living entity, due to their karma, they have to maybe go and get some punishments in the hellish planet. Then they have to go to the different species of life. Now, someone may think, what's the problem going through the different species of life? I remember one time I asked, actually, it was a new Govardhan, it was a Sunday program, and I said, now, I was talking about karma, reincarnation, and having to come back again. And I asked the new people there, if you had a choice in your next life, what to come back as, what would you come back as, what would you choose? And, you know, someone said, I'd like to come back as a cat, and because my cat has a really nice life. It just sits near the heater all day and just lies down. Another one said, some lady said, I wouldn't mind being a snake. And, and they gave her reasons. And another one, the dog, and then a bird, had all these different... they kind of think that, that's like some sort of glamorous life to be a bird or a snake. I don't know how, but anyway, they're thinking like that. But, so they're thinking like that. But, when you analyse... Is it so nice to be a dog? Is it so nice to be a cat? Is it so nice to be a cockroach? And actually Krishna describes this, he talks about the greatest fear for a living entity is to actually go back into these species of life, because it's in one living entity is food for another, and it's such an extreme type of existence. I remember at New Govatan one time also, I was just out there on the water and sitting down, and on the lawn there was this little kind of bug crawling along, and then some other bigger bug came and jumped on him and started eating him, and then a bird flew down and ate the both of them. So I watched, I was observing the whole thing, and I was just thinking, yes, well, that's life in the different species of life. Just imagine. You're just going along and someone jumps on you. Just imagine we were walking down the road and someone jumped on and started eating us. Right? That's what it's like. We don't think about it. We don't think that we're going to walk down the road and someone's just going to jump on us and start eating us. Of course, if you're in Africa or something like that. So we don't, as human beings, generally speaking, but in the species of life, it's very extreme, the different species, lower species of life. And so, but we have to pass through all that. And so Krishna gives us the intelligence to go through those species and to actually think that now I'm a deer, now I'm a bird, now I'm a... I remember reading some conversation Prabhupada was having with some of his disciples about natural selection and all this type of Darwinism and all this type of thing, and going through one species to another. And Prabhupada was making a point that well, how does the baby deer or any baby know to go just to go and suck the teat of the mother? They just know to do that, and then some of the disciples say, well, they say it's just instinct. And Prabhupada says, no, it's not instinct. He says, Super Soul, Paramatma is within them, and he's within their heart. He's giving them the instruction or the impetus to go and do that. He's giving them the intelligence to know to do that thing. It is not just a vague material concept, but it's actually the Paramatma who's giving them the intelligence to be able to, as babies, survive, and they know instinctively, well, not instinctively, but to go to the mother and suck on her breast to get the milk and everything like that, even as the deer or whatever. So this is Krishna, is facilitating all this. But nevertheless, whatever the situation, Krishna is giving the memory for all that, and giving the forgetfulness also of the previous life, taking away, simultaneously giving. How to live in a particular life, simultaneously taking away the memory of the former life. Interestingly, here, the living entity, Lord Kapila Dev's talking about the living entity who has now come in the human form of life and somehow or other remembers. It seems that Krishna gives the living entity in the womb some type of memory of his actual situation. And we find here Lord Kapila describing the prayer... The prayers of the living entity in the womb, which is quite an astonishing, and they're very eloquent. Yan maya yoru gunakam, even the meter of them. Now, I don't know exactly. Lord Kapila's putting them in this meter, or who's putting, but certainly the prayers are very eloquent and philosophically very profound. So you would think that, well, how the little baby in the womb already, but it understand. It's Krishna gives the memory of the former lives, how the living entity has passed through all the former lives, now is in this condition in the womb, which is a very excruciating situation. There was a little bit of description, how the living entity is all arched over, tiny, in the womb of the mother. It's not it's a very extreme situation. But even in that situation, he's having a memory and he's offering prayers and he's having realizations of his position. The living entity is put under the influence of the material nature and hard struggle on the repeated path, on the path of repeated birth and death. This is all due to forgetfulness of. And why does the living entity have forgetfulness? Because the living entity desires to have his little independence separate from Krishna, and so Krishna arranges all these things. Now understanding all this is good. Coming to some knowledge, Krishna gives the realization to the living entity. He's praying. Of course, we know, generally speaking, unless someone's a Mahabhagavat or something like that, but generally speaking, when the living entity comes out, they forget everything. Even in the womb, it seems that the memory is there, but coming out of the womb, immediately everything is forgotten. Such is the power, the memory is taken, such is the power of the illusory energy. So powerful. Krishna's right there, next to ourselves. And we just offered prayers, but taking an appearing and taking birth, we forget everything within a moment. How is it possible? Well, it's arrangement of Krishna, a combination of Krishna taking away the memory, the illusory energy impacting. Sometimes we, you know, for example, we may be absorbed in something. Maybe we're reading, or maybe we're doing something, and someone can be right there standing, talking to you. But you're so absorbed, you don't even know they're saying it, you don't even realize they're there. This is just a little bit of an example that how even when someone's right there, if we're absorbed, if we're overwhelmed with a specific situation, even they're there or so many things may be going on, we're totally absorbed and oblivious. Even we can be surrounded by so many things, so many people and so many different things going on, moving around us, but if we're so absorbed. So coming into the world, we're so absorbed in and covered, the illusory energy is covering us because we desire it, so Krishna has to arrange it in that way. And then we come into life and we continue our existence. So coming to the point of knowledge about all this is very, very good. And Prabhupada does in fact say in one purport in Bhagavad Gita that spiritual life is difficult. It is not easy. One needs a lot of knowledge from books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. But here he goes on to say that knowledge in itself is not sufficient. One needs to have the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For only by getting that mercy can one actually be liberated. It's seen again. There's so many, you know, actually in the mature world we find a lot of people who philosophize and they have kind of realizations of some type of realization of the sufferings of the world, and they write about it, maybe they write poetry about it, maybe they have books about it, maybe they'll do a film about it. But even understanding and still they can't get out of it. They can't get out of it. So with all that, you know, realization, of course they can never have a full understanding, but they have some idea of the nature of the world. And they and actually material life, we see that it's just an attempt to reduce, and Prabhupada always used to say this, that just a, you know, it's there's no real happiness in the world. It's just when you minimize the suffering, and when the suffering is minimized to a certain extent, then people call that happiness. So really, life in the world is about minimizing. It's too cold, you know, put the heater on. It's too hot, put the AC on. It's a, you know, it's someone's giving trouble to you over here, let's go over there. You know, so, isn't it? So, that's the whole endeavor. You know, increase your happiness, decrease your suffering. But even though we may have that desire, it's really mostly out of our control. We have some sort of level of control, but we don't have much control. You know, our endeavor is to increase our happiness, but quite often we see that we're actually, our happiness decreases and our suffering increases. We want to increase our happiness, but all of a sudden the suffering increases for some reason. This is all due to the past activities in so many lives, and now you're getting reactions, and the reactions can't even fit in one life. They have to go over many lives. Sometimes something seems good, sometimes something seems bad. What can we do about that? We may have a good situation. And generally the living entity becomes very possessive of that, tries to protect it by all means, and becomes even puffed up about his position, so on, and can take action against others. But it's a kind of a craziness, because we're very tiny. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, I remember that story from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, where he's talking about, he told about a frog who was down by the river. And the frog saw a rupee coin. And so he saw it and said, "Oh, rupee coin, now I'm very rich." And he jumped on it. Jumped on the rupee coin. And anything that came nearby, anyone that came, he'd croak, "Rawr, rawr, rawr, get away. It's mine. My rupee coin." Croak loudly. And so, and then, all of a sudden, a big elephant came down. Boom, 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 boom. And so, coming closer and closer and closer. So the frog was just, you know, "Get away, get away." And then the elephant just kept going and squished the frog, and just kept going. And went for a bath in the river. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, the moral of the story: you may think you're a big frog, whatever you are, but, you know, when the big elephant of time, of the material nature, comes, who are you? You're nothing. You're an absolute nothing. So all of us kind of think that way. We're a something. We're a special person. And, of course, in Krishna's eyes, all of us are special. You know, we're all living entities. He's parts and parcels. But we act independent from him, separate from him in a crazy way. And we think ourselves in our separateness and our little independence and our foolishness, in our ignorance, we think we're very powerful or special. And, you know, generally, I'm very educated, you know, I'm very wealthy, I'm very handsome, I'm very beautiful. You know, I come from a big family of brahmanas or aristocratic, and you get all puffed up, or I've got all these things together rolled into my personality. So you develop a certain attitude and you think you're very special. And you think you deserve special attention and this and that and the other thing. But, you know, in the face of prakriti, in the face of kala time, in the face of karma, what is all this? It's just insignificant. I was reading in the Mahabharata. I've been rereading Mahabharata. And Krishna was preaching to Yudhishthira. At the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira became despondent. So many were killed, you know, so he could be the emperor, and so he didn't want to become the emperor. He actually said that Bhima should be the emperor. I don't want to be the emperor. Anyway, so many came and spoke to him, and Krishna said that, you know, you are feeling this way, so many are killed, but in this world, these dualities, it's just an illusory situation. It is temporary. He said, just like, and he gave the example of a dream. Just like in a dream, in a dream, we may dream so many things. That, you know, we're talking to this one, where something nice is happening, all of a sudden a tiger comes out, or or some robber comes and attacks me, and we're feeling it, we're tossing and turning, and dream may turn into a nightmare, and tossing and turning, and then all of a sudden we wake up, and the whole thing just disappears, just like that. Just like that. So we become so involved in our temporary, illusory kind of existence, thinking it all in all, but at any moment, boom, it's just like waking up from the dream. It's over, and none of it actually existed. Just a figment of the imagination, the mind in the sleep state, so on. So too, life in the world is like that. But, you know, unfortunately, society is such that it perpetuates this ignorance. Who's going to get out of it? In another place in the Bhagavatam, there's a description that for spiritual life, for the majority of people in the Kali Yuga, is like a spot on the horizon. This is the description it's given. A spot on the horizon. Just like if you're looking out at the sea, it's vast, the horizon's there. You know, there may be a spot somewhere. You're not even going to notice it. It's just a spot. But most people don't even think about the spiritual life. It's just that's what their thoughts are. They're just so engrossed in their material affairs. And it's so entangling. You know, they say that, you know, even the materialists have, you know, some idea how entangling. They say that generally, you know, you go through your school and you may go to university. Now, the choices you make right back when you choose your, you know, what you're going to major in at university, generally they're going to be with you your whole life. It's very hard to get out of that. You're going to devote yourself to some degree and some line of work after the degree, and you're there for the rest of your life. And maybe some people change it up or whatever, but generally speaking, you're stuck. And we have to conform in so many ways. We're thinking of ourselves independent. We have to conform. We have to do our studies. We have to do our work. Come in and at this time, do this, do that, do the other thing. If you don't do it, there'll be consequences. If we're driving down the road, the light turns red, we have to stop. We may want to do so many things, but we're very restricted, although we have some measure of little independence. But the problem is that we've got an inflated idea of our position, and it's an illusion. So, as I said, as far as material society, they're trying to minimize the unpleasantness, and but it's becoming more and more unpleasant in so many ways. And even if someone has an idea that has to be changed, what is their idea? They've got their ideas, but even if someone comes to the point of gyan, knowledge, the Mayavadis understand the temporiness of the world, but knowledge in itself, unless one gets the mercy, unless one is favoured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then here Prabhupada refers to this, Daiviye Shagunai Mamma Maya Dharatya Mamaivaya Prapadyante Tamsdhate Bajam. What is it? Mamaivaya Prapadyante is the last line. Mayame Tamtarantite. That this divine energy is very difficult to overcome. It's impossible. Prabhupada actually explains in that purport. It's impossible. This prakriti, this illusory energy, you'll never overcome it. You're a teeny soul. It's impossible to overcome. But one who surrenders unto Krishna can very easily cross beyond it. So, and bhaktya tvananaya sakya, in so many places, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, only through the devotional service. So even we take up the knowledge. Knowledge is good. We come to the understanding. But knowledge is only good so long as it takes you to the path of devotional service. And even devotional service is only good if one gets the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not just automatic. Automatically, by engaging in devotional service, you will automatically. In one sense, yes, by doing it, it's very scientific, but to actually be liberated, one needs the mercy. The Lord has to be pleased with us. He's giving you the knowledge. He's pointing you in the right direction. But he wants to see your consciousness. He wants to see your attitude. And if Krishna is pleased with us, then you can be liberated. Then you might even love of God. I remember reading another conversation that Prabhupada was having with some disciples. Hari Story was there, and we're talking about some devotee who had left, and someone said yes because they couldn't follow the principles or something like that. And by following the principles, some other devotee said, disciple said, it's by following the principles, maybe we can come to the devotional service and come to the position. Only by following all these things can we come to devotional service. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is true. But actually, ultimately, it is by Krishna's mercy. Ultimately, it is by Krishna's mercy. And then someone said, yes, Prabhupada, I think it was Hari Soi might have even said how to attain this love of God. And Prabhupada said, yes, love of God, that is Krishna's business. And he answered in that way, very interestingly. He said, that is Krishna's business. He said, if you just follow and you please Krishna, then he bestows upon you love of God. So even love of God doesn't automatically come. Just by following even devotional service, even. In Prabhupada, in the way he explained it there, he said that Krishna bestows on you love of God. He said that Prabhupada actually answered in that way. That is Krishna's. And he said, you just follow nicely. You follow everything nicely. You know, and then when Krishna is pleased with you, that is Krishna's business. He'll give you the love of God. So it seems very much that here and so many other places that Prabhupada is emphasizing on Krishna's mercy. That only by Krishna's mercy can you actually be liberated. Knowledge in itself, good work, pious activities, giving in charity, any of these things are insufficient in themselves. If they put one on the path of devotional service, tesham satara yuktanam bhajadam priti purvakam, but those who worship me with love, I give the understanding. Te shamibhano kampatam, I dwelling in the heart with a shining lamp of knowledge. All these verses we read in Bhagavad Gita, other verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is by Krishna's bestowing upon us his mercy that we can actually advance. So we're very fortunate that we've come to Krishna consciousness. There are many who haven't. And this is mentioned actually in that chapter, Daivi Eshugun, when one surrenders unto Krishna. But then in the next verse, I think, Namam Duskrishna Mudha Prapadyante Naradama Maya Pritika Asuram Bhavamas. Krishna goes on to say, but there are some who cannot surrender unto me. And he defines the categories. He says, the Mudhas. Some are just Mudhas. They cannot surrender unto me. And the kami mudas, they just work so hard. All they know is working. They don't know other things. Working. Just working. Working is their God. All they know is working. Some devotee was telling me that he was working as he was learning, doing an apprenticeship to be a boiler maker. After he'd come across Krishna consciousness, after a year or two in his apprenticeship, he decided to quit and become a devotee. And so he was working with a lot of old timers, you know. And when he said that he was going to quit his apprenticeship, they were in shock. What, quit? You can't quit now. You're only halfway through. What are you going to do the rest of your life? You got to work. These old timers, he was saying, the old timers gathered around him and were giving him the sauce, right? Can't quit now, you're crazy. What are you going to do for work? You have to work. So work was everything. So the Krishna says, yes, the mudha, the kami mudha, all they know is just working, like the donkey. The donkey is so stupid, you know, the owner of the donkey loads the donkey up and makes him work all day long, and in the end gives him some grass. The donkey, so the grass is already there, but he somehow or other, the owner's convinced the donkey, no, you have to work for it, and then you'll get the grass, right? You can't just eat it there. Work first, and then you'll get the grass, right? This is called the mudha. So Krishna gives some people, they just can't surrender. And then he goes, Naradama, you know, they are... socially developed. They're a little bit intelligent. They've got nice situations for themselves, but they're too contented. Now, I've got my nice house, my nice family, children going to good school, I've got good education, everything's good, and no impetus for spiritual life. So these types of people, generally, they can't surrender to Krishna either. They think in illusion is too good for them. And then Krishna goes on, then he talks about the Maya, Prithagyana, the intellectuals. They're so into their intellectual pursuits. If they can't understand it with their intellects, then they can't accept it. No, that doesn't make sense to me. No, I reject it. As if their intellect can understand everything anyway. But nevertheless, they're so absorbed in that they can't accept Krishna or any spiritual life. And then, of course, Krishna talks about the openly atheistic asuras, who just, you know, an offensive type persons, they're openly atheist, so they'll never surrender. So Krishna talks about some people who can't surrender unto him, but by surrendering unto him, the impossible can be, you know, crossing over the ocean of material existence, not only can be made possible, but it becomes easy. Easy. It becomes easy. Right? So, by Krishna, the controller of Maya can merely lift the veil of the Maya. Only by going to the controller. Otherwise, so this is why Prabhupada stresses in this verse, oh, the mercy of Krishna. Yes, do your devotional service, develop the knowledge, that's good. But we have to pray to Krishna, we have to develop the nice consciousness, and only then can we be free from the threefold miseries of this conditioned life, only when we surrender unto him only. Alright. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I'll read this verse again. If anyone would like to ask a question or comment, we have a few minutes. No one other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the localized Paramatma, the partial representation of the Lord, is directing all inanimate... Oh, it's the wrong verse. The human soul further prays. The living entity is put under the influence of material nature and continues a hard struggle for existence on the path of repeated birth and death. This conditional life is due to his forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. And therefore, without the Lord's mercy, how can he again engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord? Any questions? Yes,
please. What's the best thing that we can do to attract Krishna's mercy?
You can do many things. You can follow very nicely all the instructions given by your guru, all the instructions of the Shastra. You can pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be always... So by doing all these things, therefore Prabhupada very kindly has given us many things to do. And by doing these things, then, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had a saying, don't try to see God, but act in such a way that God will, he want to see you. So Prabhupada has given us so many nice things to follow that Krishna is attracted to the devotee who's following all these things. But yes, just do all these things nicely to the best of your ability. Then Krishna will give his mercy. Yes. Yes. I mean, the Prabhupada once said that just like in Bhagavad Gita there are so many instructions by Krishna, but actually there only needs to be one instruction. What is that one instruction? Huh? Savaranam parichagya mamekam sananam vaja hamtam sabhapati moksha shami asachama. What's the translation? Who can give the translation of Savaramam Parityagya Mamekam Saranam Vaja Amtam Savapapi Moksha Shami Mati? Where are all the Bhakti Shastris here? Now, I heard that in this temple, so many of you are Bhakti Shastris, Bhakti Bhai Bhavs, and no one can give me the translation of Savanama Pritya Gyamami Kamsaran Raja. Speak up.
Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender
to me. Did everyone hear that? Abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender to me. I will protect you from all fears. So that Prabhupada said that verse is the only verse that's needed. All the other verses he said have convinced us to do it. Convince us to do it. So yes, if one surrenders unto Krishna, he may not have a great understanding, philosophical understanding, but if one actually surrenders, then Krishna is so kind that he can immediately just take that devotee, whether he has knowledge or doesn't have knowledge, but he's fully surrendered soul. So yes, that is up to Krishna, by Krishna's desire, by Krishna's mercy. Yes, Krishna Rupa? You ask a question or are you going to make
just a
comment? Krishna, famous Krishna Rupa comment.
Well, you are
infamous. Go on. And then when you serve the devotee, then you have to do all the things the devotee says. So just to add, just a comment to your comment. You know, we can worship the devotee, come with the flower, and offer our obeisances, and then walk out. Just like at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Nasta Preshya, but no, there's that one verse. Nasta Mawashmiti Labda Tatva Sadama Sitasmi Gata Sandeya Krishya Vachananta. When Krishna asked Arjuna, have you heard all these instructions with an attentive mind? Illusions gone. And Arjuna says, yes, Krishna. By your mercy. And I'm prepared to follow your instructions. Very important. Arjuna could have said, yes, Krishna, yes, I've heard everything, but I'm not going to follow them. I'm going to do something else. Thank you very much. So it's very important, yes, by one who is a devotee of my devotee. He is actually my devotee. No, there's many verses that are like that. But then we have to actually follow. And then your Krishna becomes very, very pleased. And you get the mercy. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gautama Nandi Hari Hari.